This is Alex Douglas, Friends Academy point guard, and you're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
This is Ryan Dunn, Long Island Lutheran, and you're watching the Mike Kaplan 100 Keep It 100 podcast.
Listening.
Oh.
Mike Kaplan 100.
Did I say watching?
No, you were good. Right.
This is Ryan Dunn, Long Island Lutheran, and you're listening to Mike Kaplan Keep It 100 podcast.
The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by East Fitness Long Island. Endurance, agility, speed, training. Train like a pro, be around pros. We take pride in growing athletes of all ages, of all sports. Get faster, stronger, and even jump higher. We have the Dunk Factory if you're into basketball. The Lax Factory if you're into lacrosse. And we got ladder workouts to up your footwork in soccer. We have DJ scratching and drones flying on Fridays if you're into ambiance. And if you want to memorize Pop Smoke songs, this is the place for you. A fun and friendly atmosphere, but we work hard too. To book a training session, find us at eastfitnessli.com. Fight!
Welcome to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kaplan, owner at East Fitness, Huntington High School girls varsity basketball coach, and pro performance specialist. I started this podcast to interview my athletes so they can share their stories and journeys about their respective sports they participate in and the journey in which they got to where they are. I've had the pleasure of training many wonderful athletes, and we are simply providing a platform for them to share their perspectives and stories. This is the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. Today we got two very special guests, Friends Academy superstar Alex Douglas and his boy Ryan Dunn, Lou High guard, superstar as well. How we both doing?
It's good, Mike. Good. How are you?
They both rolled their eyes. You guys didn't like that intro?
It was great.
Who's the superstar between you two?
Me.
All right, I'm not even going to answer that question.
So if you both played one-on-one 10 times, who's winning?
I'm winning 10 out of 10.
I give him three. I give him three when I'm tired.
Bro, he's lying. That's not.
Like when I'm tired.
All right, so
when you're tired?
When I'm tired, I give you three.
We're going to have to set that up then and have some video proof to see who's going. Speaking of one-on-one, what if we go? I think it's actually on the schedule. Is that true? Friends Academy versus Lujai?
They don't want that. They do not want that.
I need to clear this up.
You better clear this up.
I need to clear this up. If we play their national team,
40 ball.
And he's guarding me.
40 ball.
You might win. You will win.
40 ball. And he's having like 5 points.
I will give him 40. Because he doesn't play defense.
This is what's going to happen.
No.
This is what's going to happen. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to shoot the ball, right? So I'm going to press him because he doesn't go to the basket. Like he just told me.
I'm going to bump him off and I'm shooting over him.
So when my 6'8 wing wants to come help, what's going
to
happen?
I'm not going to the basket. That has nothing
to do with
it. Okay,
so when you bump off and he's still there, what's going to happen?
He's not going to be there. I don't use screens, Ryan.
Okay.
I'm going straight by you, getting into a jump shot every time.
Is this game on the schedule?
It will not be because we don't have room on our schedule. We cannot play non-league games. You can't either.
Duck and smoke.
Mm-hmm. We can set it up.
I can get my.
You're not staying in front of me.
I can get my five.
I'll get my five. As long as you're guarding me, I'm having a day.
As long as you find a place and a time, I'll get my five to go play.
I'm having a day, though.
Damn. You guys should just have your own show right here.
You would.
I'm going to sit back and listen. How long have you known each other? How long have you guys played with each other, against each other? You know, what's your relationship besides this going on right here?
I'm not going to lie. I really just met him like this year.
Yeah, like this year. Mostly over the summer running here.
Because of Sousa and stuff like that. But normally he's a cool person. We always talk a lot. We started bonding more over this year about basketball and even off the court stuff about shoes. I know he likes in the shoes and stuff like that.
Yep, sneakerhead. Yeah. So you guys usually both work out here in the summertime. You were working out on the basketball courts, then you came over to me. You know, we had some strength conditioning, and sometimes you'd come back again and do some shooting. What was that experience like for both you guys being in high school, having, you know, pros over here, overseas guys, guys in the G League, and just high-level college guys? You know, how did that experience make you better skill-wise? How did it push you over here with me on the turf? And, you know, what advice does some of those guys just give to you in general?
For me, it mostly built my confidence a lot now, knowing that I can play with them, and like seeing them here working out, like they're the same old person as us. They don't really care. Like they're not big leaking us. They're not saying like they're better. So normally I try to like ask a lot of questions, like, what do you do to get better? What's your work ethic? Like, which, how do you motivate? And I normally like try to get answers and like try to build out to my game.
Yeah.
For me, it was like seeing the process in person was a lot different, because you get to see, like, a lot of times you see on Instagram, like, the guys working out before the draft or the guys working out before they go overseas. And it's like being a part of that process and seeing that process here, like, those guys would get here 30 minutes before our workout would start. They'd be stretching, they'd be warming up just for regular runs on a Friday.
Yeah.
Coming to those runs, killing, then coming in here and still being the hardest working guy in the gym. It's just like they're going through the same stuff that we're going through. And since it was the summer, we had the time to be part of that process. But they were just always like the hardest workers in the gym. And that was probably the main thing I learned. Just, you want to attack every workout like they did if you want to be at their level.
Yeah, no, definitely motivating. And I think seeing it live is a whole different world than watching videos. And I know you and my man, you, who's overseas right now, you guys built a big relationship. He kind of took you under your wing. You know, what was that like for you? He's kind of like, you know, your big brother in a sense this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Che was really motivating, just because every time he was here, I was here. And even like, I remember there was one night that Woody had runs here, but not enough people came. So it ended up just being like a free shoot around.
Right.
Like, just come get some shots up. And me and Che sat there for, I think, about 3 hours, just partner shooting, just fixing little details, like making sure your elbow's in the right spot, getting enough arc on your shot, like little things that when you think about it and you go back and look at that, it's like that's the little adjustments that fix your game and take you from maybe a 15-point-per-game score to a 23-point-per-game score because you hit a few more shots every game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's one of my favorite things here is seeing, you know, some of the older guys or pros take, you know, the younger guys into their wing and just be role models. And same thing, watching you guys work with some of the middle school kids or somebody who's new here and just take them under the wing. I think the best part about this place is just that atmosphere, and there's not intimidating. Everyone's, you know, no matter who you are, whether you're, you know, major league player, NBA player, pro overseas, or Division I player, you know, we don't leave the egos at the door, and everyone, you know, is just great, great with each other. I think that's huge here. So, you know, thank you guys for helping the younger kids too, and I think it's awesome for you guys to learn from the older guys. That being said, knowing that you guys were here, I don't even know, for 2 hours or so on the court, then you come to me. What was your commitment like this off season? Just putting in extra time and giving up a lot. You know, kids are going maybe to the beach or hanging out with friends, and you're in the gym, you know, 90 degrees outside. We're getting work in for 2 to 3 hours, whether it's with me for an hour, basketball for 2 hours, and maybe coming back, getting shots up. You know, what was there's just a sacrifice like?
I mean, for me, it was really like the end result that I can see. Like now, going over the summer, working out, doing conditioning, doing strength, doing all that, I can see that more in practice. Because when people are like, we're going to go through drills, people are shot. Like, they're tired. Like, either like practice where kids were like at that trash can, spinning into it. I'm like, are you good?
Yeah.
Like, we're doing stretches. We're warming up. We're doing like little sprints. So now, like, seeing that overwork and sacrificing all that time for going to parties, I feel like it kind of worked out for me. And I'm still not where I want to be yet. So, like, if I'm still doing that, I have to work extra hard to get to where I want to be, like college or pros. I feel like once I start doing that even more, 10 times more, like 10 times harder, because I know it's going to get harder when I get to college and stuff like that, I'm going to be like them. Yep. But I feel like if I keep working now, the off season before I go to college or I go to prep, I feel like it'll work out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the same thing, but I made different connections that I feel like aligning myself with people here instead of people, like, going to parties. So I aligned myself with people here that it's, like, it's not that much of a lonely experience anymore, because I still, like, I'd come here, I'd look forward to seeing Che, I'd look forward to seeing Ev,
right,
like, when I come here in the morning and work out. So it's just making connections with people that have the same goal as you and have the same work ethic as you and time as you, and they want to put in the same amount of time. So for me, it was making connections here that really helped me, like,
right,
be motivated to wake up and come here and work out.
No, that's great. I mean, I think, you know, both you guys are totally motivated and hardworking. I think that's why you're both so successful. Any funny, I know I was talking to Ryan about it on the other podcast. He had some good stuff to say. I know Sierra Calhoun was his favorite place, being at Friends Academy. What was your favorite place, you know, playing at? Like, what was the best venue you went to? And did you have any wild superstitions pregame?
Favorite place to play at? I honestly don't know. Our league is very, like, competitive and chippy. Okay, Ryan. All right, buddy. Our league is competitive and chippy. Like, it's everywhere we go, there's somebody on the team that don't like somebody else on the other team. Like, it's a lot of
rivalries.
Yeah, there's a lot. Every game is a rivalry game. Even the teams that are lower in the bracket, there's still rivalry games. One of my favorite places to play, though, is definitely Oyster Bay. They're not in our league, but we played a tournament there every year from when I was a freshman, and just their crowd is crazy.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. The things they chant, like, we can't shoot free throws in silence there at all. At, like, some gyms, you can shoot your free throws. They'll chant at you during the game, but you're shooting free throws. They're screaming, making animal noises, holding up signs. Like,
fun atmosphere.
It's fun. And we got to take their tournament and then walk to the sideline with the trophy. So that was fun.
That's great.
We don't get to do it this year because obviously COVID, but
right.
That was probably the best place to play.
And I know Rye for You is playing at Sierra Calhoun against LeBron James' son. Yeah. The crowd was wild. What about any other place where you walked in, you were just like, wow, this place is crazy?
Mount Verde in Florida. That was probably one of the craziest because we were warming up, packed gym. They came out, crowd was going nuts. And then the lineups came out, and it was like we went, and all of a sudden everyone goes black. And it's like lights everywhere around the gym. They got a projector with all the guys. They got Kay Cunningham, Scotty, all of them. It's like a whole NBA like show out. Like they're just doing the whole thing for high school. And then it's loud. You can't shoot free throws. They're saying stuff to us like what Alex said. But yeah, that's probably a good experience to be out there too.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be a lot of fun. And that's only going to prepare you guys for that next level and playing in front of thousands of people, fans cheering like crazy. Since we've been working out here, Alex, you've been here, I guess, what, like 2 years, give or take? Or a year, year and a half?
It's probably about to be around a year. I used to come way before, but, like, consistently, it's probably been about a year after my season ended last year.
Yeah, I would say once year. Once your season ended, you really locked in, and you were here, literally lived here every day. Do you guys remember that first time that you worked out here on the turf with me? What that experience was like?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I remember that vividly. It was me, Nate, and KDOT with Malachi. And Malachi brought me here. Polson?
Yep.
He brought me here, and he went to do something over here. And it was me, KDOT, and Nate on the boxes the whole time. And it was I didn't think I was going to survive. I was jumping on the yellow box because when I work out with other people, I don't like to lag. I don't like to lag behind. I don't like to be in last. So I was like, I could only jump on like the second highest box easily and like actually do the workout right on the second highest box. But they were both on the yellow box. So I was like, I'm not going to be the only one over here. There's four people in the whole turf. Like I have to go on the yellow box.
For everyone out there, the yellow box is the highest box.
It's way higher than the other ones. But I was like, I have to go on the yellow box. So I tried to jump on it the first time and almost fell. And they had weight balls in their hand. I didn't even have a weight ball in my hand. And I was just like struggling to get up there 10 times. It was so bad.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, what's great is now you are using a weight ball. So the progress that you've had from day one is unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different atmosphere once you get into it and you get prepared. Yeah. You're preparing yourself physically. So for me, just getting here every day was the most important thing. And then once I went through it and went through the process, it's definitely easier now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, day one's definitely different. So, what about you?
So for me, first time I came here, I was with Nate Brown, and we were working out in the gym at the basketball courts. And then he said, yo, we're going over to Mike Kaplan. And I knew who you were at first, but I didn't know it was that serious. Like, okay, that's fine. So I brought my shoes. We did all the ladder stuff. We started doing push-ups. And I was like, what is this? Like, I couldn't even get down and back without like, stopping.
Yep.
Like, I couldn't do explosions. But now, like, and then once we started getting to the, I was like, and he was like, that's the warm-up. It's like, that's the warm-up. That shouldn't be the warm-up. That should be the whole thing. So then we started doing box jumps, like he said, doing the Dunk Factory pull-ups and stuff like that. And I was exhausted. Like, I couldn't do it. So, like, but now seeing the progression of me not being able to do it to now kind of, like, leading drills and stuff like that and flying through stuff, I can see it and I kind of enjoy it now. Like, with my friend Andrew, like, today was his first day here, so he was exhausted. But, like, when he comes back, I feel like it's going to be different for him because he's now going to get through everything. He's going to push through. So that's just progression for me.
Nah, yeah, it's funny, especially, like, you two guys have been here, so I know – you know, that first day is always rough for everyone. So when somebody new comes, it's funny seeing, you know, like for you guys, for example, and we tell you that somebody new's here, your facial expression, you know, is just funny because you know that first day is just different. But did you guys, so before, you did you follow me on Instagram? Like, did you see videos or did you have any idea what you were getting into before?
I seen you on Instagram a lot. Like, people have posted you. I'm like, who is this? So then, but I didn't even think of it. So when I first got here, I'm like, this is the dude I always see on Instagram. So yeah. I just saw you through, like, IG and stuff like that. So,
I remember I used to work out with Malik and Rye. So yep. I used to follow them on IG and I saw, like, they would be here every day. I was like, I never saw you because it was like you were always videoing. Yeah. So I didn't know, like, even when I got here, I didn't know who you were.
Exactly.
I got here and I was like, okay, I saw the pull-up bar. That looked familiar. I saw the boxes. That looked familiar. So I kind of knew, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
That's funny. I mean, that day one is always funny. And, yeah, I mean, the whole reason I started that was really just to promote the athletes. That's why you really never see me on Instagram. But it's funny when kids come and they follow me and maybe they watch a 15-second video and they, you know, they send me a message, they want to come in, and then, you know, they don't realize that 15 seconds is like an hour worth of the same exercises. So it's definitely funny when kids come that first day. But now that you guys are veterans here, what would be your favorite thing to do? What do you enjoy the most? Even though it might not be, you know, might be hard.
The dunk factory, with the pull-up bar and just dunking with the medicine ball, I feel like that's probably my favorite thing to do here.
Yes, sir. What about you?
When my legs aren't shot, that's my favorite thing to do by far. When my legs are shot, though, I definitely like lifting a little bit more just because I know that I'm still getting a good workout, yep. Like bench pressing or, like, doing pull-ups. Like, simple stuff like that, you give us, like, different ways to do it that'll make it more effective. So right. That's definitely enjoyable too.
What about your least favorite, where I say it and you kind of just know, or you give me a look, like
core work. Sledge
core work and sledge
sledge
core work and sledge
sledge
yeah sledge
because I work out in socks and I just can't
I remember I did it for the first time and I did 40 you did 45s
yeah
and you put it on that little mini sled and I couldn't pull it and I'm like am I doing this wrong? I'm like, no, you're doing it right, you just can't pull it.
Yeah, those sleds are low.
Yeah. We don't definitely. Even use the sleds anymore. You just put the plates on the grass and say, push
it. Never did that.
And that is torture. That is literal torture.
That's funny. I mean, it's been definitely fun working with you guys, being here, seeing your, you know, when I say those things and you have to hop on and do it, you know, your reactions, you guys definitely have funny reactions. I love when I say it and then I see your reaction.
Yeah.
What advice would you give younger kids coming up that are interested really in playing in the next level, just from a work ethic standpoint and just, you know, things you have to give up and sacrifice? You know, what would you say to somebody?
You got it first.
All right. For me, I would say from a work ethic standpoint, I would definitely say just work as hard as you can and try to find a goal and lose yourself in that goal and just be committed to the process. And also, I would say find the situation that's best for you and best for you getting to where you want to be. So, like, for Ryan's at Lujai, that's a great situation for him.
Thank
to
you,
be
Alex.
In.
I appreciate that.
Good job.
See, you guys are friends. So
Ryan's at Lujai. That's a great situation for him to be in. For me, Friends Academy is a great situation for me to be in for the type of schools I want to go to. So, I'd say find a spot that is great for you to be in and that can get you to where you want to be. Don't, like, listen to, oh, you should be here,
right,
or you should be at Lujai, you should be at Upper Room, you should be somewhere where basketball is more competitive, you should be somewhere where academics is more competitive. Just go where you feel, in high school and in college, go where you feel is right for you. That's my, like, biggest piece of advice.
For me, if you really, it's not even, like, for basketball, like, for anything, if you really want to be great, put the work in when you're young, because that was kind of my thing. I knew I wanted to play, but I didn't really know I wanted to play serious. I just want to play for fun.
Yeah.
So like I told you before, like if I would have actually started working out, coming to you at like 5th, 5th, 6th grade, going to the gym 3 times a day, like some of the kids I know now, like my friend Juice in Orlando, if I did that, I would probably be a different story right now. And just for motivation, don't give up and like don't listen to what people say. Like there's gonna be kids in your row that's gonna tell you like, oh, don't do that. Like you're not good for, you're not gonna be good enough, you're not gonna be great enough. A lot of kids in my old school told me like I wasn't gonna be good enough, I wasn't gonna be strong enough, I wasn't gonna be the most best player in my team.
Right.
And a lot of them, I don't even see that anymore right now. But a lot of them, they see me now going to my legs now. I couldn't even dunk when I was a freshman, sophomore in high school, but now keeping the work and I'm going to my legs, doing stuff like that. Yeah, so probably main advice was to keep pushing. Don't believe what everyone said. It's your own path.
Yeah, just the progressions. I mean, why, you know, is there, you know, now that you both are in the right place, like, how did you know Friends Academy was for you, Lehigh was for you, not going, you know, to just your regular high school? You know, when did you really know? Was it in eighth grade or as you got closer to high school that you made that decision?
Well, for me, I went to Baldwin. I went to three schools. I went to Baldwin my freshman year, and I didn't play JV at all. Didn't touch the floor. I touched for like 1 minute again, like 1 minute when it was like a 50 ball. So my dad was like, "The competition's bad. You need to get better. So I'm gonna send you down to Oak Hill," which was weird for me because I'm coming from not playing to going to a number one school in the country at the time. So that kind of opened my mind up and opened my eyes of like, wow, this is a whole different story of competition, because now I'm with, keep in mind, Cole's there, Kofi's there, all the top ranked guys are there. So playing with them and playing against them at pickup, because I ain't playing on their team, but playing at pickup, it kind of like gave me some confidence because I knew I can play there. But that wasn't really like a home for me because I was not even home. I got homesick a little bit. So, and Lehigh called me and they were like, "Hey, come down for a tryout." So I came down there and I decided, you know, let me just go there. I'd rather take a bus there and take a two-hour plane ride and two-hour bus ride to go down there. So then once I got there, and I knew that it was kind of home for me when I felt like I belonged there off rip from the first practice. Coach Buck, Coach Josh, Coach CK, everyone, Coach Drew, Coach Jay, they all gave me confidence. They all believed me and what I can do in the game. They can say I can do way more than what I did last year. They're trying to have me do more stuff. So that kind of boosted me out on confidence. So that's when I knew that Lehigh was a place really for me.
I kind of decided in eighth grade too. Well, Ryan was more in high school, but when I was in eighth grade, I went to Lehigh for middle school. So I had that experience of like big basketball school.
Do you know that, Rye?
I never knew that.
He wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
He got there in 11th.
Gotcha.
I was there in middle school. So I got that experience of like big basketball school. I made JV in eighth grade, and then I decided I was like, I wanted to look for a different place just to see like what was out there. Yeah. And I got to Friends and the environment there. Like, we had a much different team. I don't know if you remember Trayvon Alexander.
Yep.
And we had another kid named Teddy. And those two kids were like, when I got there, I had new Trey. And I didn't really know Teddy, but I met them when I first got there. I met Coach Heffley, who's not there anymore. But I met that, and I saw that environment. And I was like, this is someone these are two kids I could really learn from. Trey was, he was one of the best point guards I played with. And I only played with him as a freshman. And Teddy was just a scorer. And it was like seeing those two kids in front of me. And Lehigh had so many pieces that it was like, if I stay here, I could work hard. But they're bringing in kids.
Right. You just knew Friends Academy was the right fit for you.
Friends Academy was like, I can go there and develop, and I was going to play varsity earlier.
Right.
I was going to, because I played varsity as a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to play varsity as a freshman at Lehigh. I would have had to wait. I would have had to wait till junior year probably.
Right.
So I was like, I'll go there, play varsity, get the experience, and that's been the best thing for me is playing on varsity for 4 years is like, I've seen everything.
Yep.
Ryan has seen different parts of basketball, but I've seen everything. Like, I already know when I see the ref raise his hand a certain way, how the game speed's moving, I know he's going to call a charge even if it's not a charge.
Right.
I know I'm going to get a foul on a certain reach even if I got all ball. It's like, you just know it's going to happen. You've seen it so many times. So I felt like that was the best experience for me.
To add on to what Alex said about playing, my junior year going into Lehigh, I didn't know my numbers, but like, I wasn't really supposed to play either. I didn't even think, my dad didn't think, even I don't think a lot of my coaches thought that I was going to come in there and give big minutes of what they knew. They thought I was going to sit for a little bit, take like your time. And then once this year, I was supposed to be like the main person. But going into the middle of the season, they just, I guess in practice, they saw a different person. They just said, you know, let me give them a shot.
Right.
And for me, I just took an opportunity and I did well. So that kind of boosts my confidence there too. So it's like they don't like he said the recruitment, they can recruit people, but if you're developing and getting better in practice, they'll play you no matter who it is. They don't care if it's like if it's number one player in the country. If you're playing better than him, he's gonna play you no matter what. So that's kind of was a big piece for me too.
Yeah, the uncertainty for me was just like I'd rather go somewhere where I have two kids that I could learn from.
Yeah.
And they definitely took me under their wing before they transferred. And I had two kids that I could learn from. And I had the certainty of going in and making an impact right away. Even as a freshman,
right.
I'd come in the game, they'd throw me in the corner, they'd say, sit there, go make shots, and then go guard the best player on the other team. That was That was literally my role.
For my role model, that's like Jonas Celestine. Because coming in there, everyone told me I was like him. So I was like, who is that? And that's like a 6'6 guard from Canada that's going to Cal Berkeley right now. So I kind of like watched him, even though he was hurt. He kind of like took me under my wing, I feel like, and told me stuff that I needed to do. So I really appreciate him for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I started this podcast is, you know, you guys are perfect examples of two different stories, two different schools, and, you know, why you took those journeys there and how they both benefited you. Even though they were, you know, two totally different paths, you're both coming out on top, you know, which is great to hear. I think especially for other kids coming up, trying to figure out what's the best fit for them, and everything's, you know, everyone's is different. You know, I want to thank you guys for being on. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's time now to keep it 100 with Mike Kaplan. So I'm going to give you two different words, and you just tell me which one you like better.
All right, bud.
All right, cool. All right, we'll start with Lujai or Friends Academy?
Lujai.
Friends Academy.
Sleds or resistance bands?
Resistance bands.
Resistance.
Beach or snow?
Snow.
Snow.
Old school hip hop or new school hip hop?
New school hip
hop. You knew you were going to get me with that. Yeah. I honestly have no idea. I'm going to go old school just for the sake of it.
I like old school, but I'm more into new school. That's me.
Depends on who.
For me? You did it for me? What about long distance running or sprints?
Sprints. Long distance.
Oh, you're wilding.
TikTok or Snapchat?
Snapchat.
Squats or lunges?
Squats.
FaceTime or text?
FaceTime.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Apple Music.
That's not even a question.
That facts.
AirPods or Beats?
AirPods.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
That's another one. Netflix is losing all their shows.
That's
to
true.
Hulu.
No, that's true. But I still take Netflix.
I'm taking Hulu.
J. Cole or Drake?
J. Cole. Jermaine. Cole.
J. Cole.
What's your favorite late night snack?
Haribo. Gummy bears.
Gummy bears?
Reese's Buttercups.
Drew knows that. Reese's Buttercups.
All gummy bears or like the sour ones?
The regular ones. The regular ones?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a gummy bear guy too. That's my late night choice. Well, thank you guys both for being here. We got Lujai Friends Academy coming up. Hopefully we get that game in. Otherwise,
like I said, I'll take my five and you get your five.
Yeah, we'll have to go somewhere and set it up.
We can go here before they take the course down on
Monday. We can pick a spot.
We can go here.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I wish you both the best of luck, and hopefully we get some games in this winter.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by RefereeRant.com. This is our craft. This is our skill. This is our voice. We have something to say. Referee Rant was conceived by a lowly official, me, looking to make side money on the weekend. Not that he didn't take it serious. He never thought of it as a skill, a craft, right there for the taking to master. Flag football turned into softball, softball to lacrosse, then basketball. Football, soccer, baseball soon followed. We're on the field. We're on the court. You may ref better than us, but you can't write like us. You might write better than us, but you can't ref like us. Marrying art and officiating. Find us at RefereeRant.com. Fight!